So welcome everyone to our sixth live stream. And there's a community of leaders that have joined us. And we see these live streams as an ability to pause, think, gain insight and share across this community. And really it's about inspiring action as we leave session tonight. So for those who I haven't met, my name's Brent Duffy. I'm one of the joint managing directors here at Maximus, and I'm joined by a number of the other directors, Vanessa, Mark, James, Chris, and a few of the other Maximus's team. So tonight we want to do a deep dive into this topic of democratized leadership. It's a thought leadership piece that we started a few months ago at the beginning of the year. And really what we were investigating was how to unlock the collective energy and actions in our organizations. How do we think about how we distribute accountability in a different way? And for me personally, having worked in leadership for a number of years now, I get a little bit skeptical sometimes thinking, is it just another theory? You know, we've seen hundreds of theories over the years, whether it be results-based leadership, transformational leadership, servant-based leadership. But really, if you actually take a step back and think about the big revolutions and the transformations that we've been through, in each of those phases has really demanded a different way of leading. And for us, all of this and this call, all of us as leaders, in our generation, the massive transformational shift is the shift of power. It's the shift of power from what has been perceived as traditional owners to individual or small groups of collective. And we've seen that shift of power, you know, disrupt industries, disrupt organizations. And even if you think about most recently in Australia and the bushfire tragedy that wasn't that long ago, we didn't really look to the traditional government for support. There were so many bright spots of evidence of individuals and small groups of collectives, even to the Australian comedian Celeste Barber raising over $50 million in a number of days. And even as we come to the recovery, there's so many great bright spots of little organisations like Road Trip for Good, which is about highlighting what we can all contribute and unlocking that power. And I think at the moment, as we're right in the midst of COVID, I think COVID has brought the future forward for all of us. As organizations and individuals, and on these live streams, we've really talked in the past about some bright spots. We've talked about evidence where we've seen individuals or collectives really transform or do things differently. So we've talked about Stage King, the production company that would usually produce stages and sets for television and theatre, who quickly pivoted their organisation to build desks for all of us that are working at home. But if you think about not so long ago again, some of these bright spots and some of these innovations would have traditionally been blocked or even slowed down in our organisations due to potentially leadership's biases, assumptions, or things that we might have held too tightly. So again, I reflect over a project that I worked with one of Australia's largest enterprises where it was a two-year project to get thousands of people in their enterprise to work from home. And it was a two-year change management, project management, communication-led project to get these thousands of people set up to work from home. Whereas if you look around Australia and look around the world and what we've managed to do in a matter of somewhat days and weeks. So democratized leadership is about a different distribution of accountability and power. Whereas leaders, we don't hold things too tightly. We don't block, we don't fall trapped to our biases. And really it's about our ability to unlock that 80% of our organizations that don't have management in their title or leadership in their title. So it's really about how do we unlock and activate that collective. So tonight I want us to really explore the question, is the way that we've defined and lived leadership today keeping pace with the way that we need to lead in the future? Has this moment in time with COVID highlighted the opportunity for us to really think about a different form of leadership? And before I hand over to my colleague, Mark, I really don't want you to walk away from my introduction interpreting it as leaders stepping back or divulging accountability. It's not a free-for-all or a chaos. It's about this idea of unlocking the collective so that we can really thrive and keep pace with the opportunities and challenges that are no doubt going to come thick and fast at us in the future.
And this topic of democratizing leadership, you know, we've been working with it for a while now. And if I'm honest, when I first came across it, it took me a while to grasp what it really meant. And the way that I wanted to describe it to you to help you understand it more before we let you discuss it a bit further is this concept of tight and loose. And the role of the leader in managing this kind of tight and loose environment that they create. But I don't want you to think of tight and loose as a dichotomous thing. They're not two ends of a spectrum. There's gray within this. But what we find is when leaders and organizations find the balance between this idea of tight and loose, they're able to unlock that potential and that 80% of potential that sits in the body of most organizations. So a couple of examples, and examples that I'm working, some of you on this call and the clients that I'm working with right now. My background is in education, and I stepped out of that because the boundaries and the tightness of that system were constraining, and I wanted freedom. I wanted to break free from it, and a move into consulting has really enabled that. But now I kind of have the privilege of coming into your organizations and to share a few concepts around what I'm seeing around this tight and loose. We work with the banks. I'm working one of the biggest banks in Australia at the moment. Over the years, they've created a pretty complex matrix structure in their organization to really control the leaders and to drive results and to enable the organization to achieve the results that they're looking for. It's a very tight process, and often we're helping them to try and break free from the matrix that they've set up. On the flip side, you could argue that the leaders within banks have let things a bit too loose. We only have to look at the Royal Commission and their findings to show they might have let go of the rope on some of those loose things that they should have kept a bit tighter. And we're now seeing risk and compliance flood across that whole industry. On a totally different angle, I work in the medical sector. I'm working with one of the biggest hospitals with the executive here in Melbourne. I see at the front line, the patient care really suffer from a scarcity mindset, really resource constrained. And the executive are really battling to be able to push the right level of resources down through the organization to where it's most needed at the heart of patient care. On the flip side, if you look at innovation across Australia, you would have to hold up medicine as the shining light of the way they're using technology and advancement to think about the impact on their industry. The universities, some of which are on the call, hierarchical structures that really let those senior academics rise to the top and show their specialism. But the question is, are they getting in the way of those super talented young academics that might have those ideas and that energy to drive the innovations of the future? So I want you to think about this construct of tight and loose. Like I said, not from a dichotomous way, but a way of a series of levers that leaders and organizations need to be across, the constructs. The trade-off of not getting this right is our ability to be customer-centric, have a customer-centric mindset, move where the customer and the market's going, velocity, the pace in which we respond and are able to move with what's required, and the level of innovation and ideas that can get bubbled up through our organizations to solve the problems for now and in the future. So I've painted a bit of a bleak picture on the way I've seen organizations think about this problem of democratizing leadership. But there are bright spots. And over the course of the last few weeks with you, we've been talking about this idea of bright spots. And Brent shared a few earlier. My question is, though, what did the leaders have to do to enable these bright spots over the last few weeks to take hold and be successful? What paradigms did they have to shift? What belief systems did they have to let go of? And where did these bright spots in innovation push against the constructs and the culture of our organizations? So we're going to spend some time sitting with this idea of democratizing leadership and this idea of tight and loose management around it. And the two questions I want you to answer. The first one, what have you seen? What are the bright spots you've seen in your organizations, in your industries over the last 6 weeks as COVID has pushed us into this response mode? But I'd rather the conversation doesn't stop there and we spend just a little bit of time talking about the bright spots. I'm more interested in what effect did that have on the leaders in the organizations? What did the leaders have to do? How were they tested? Did they enable it or did they simply just get out of the way to allow those bright spots to take hold? Just as we come out of that conversation, I just want to catch a couple of points and I might give just a quick summary of the conversation we had in our group, which was fascinating. And thanks to those guys. Really, if I sum it up, the group talked about the COVID response actually has been the catalyst to break the paradigm and really around their more humanistic, softer side of the way our businesses are running. So it's created collaboration. People are more respectful about communication now across the screen and listening. And actually, it's brought some of the things to the forefront. The key question the group had, though, is, post this, and as we move into the next phase, how can we make sure those things are not lost? How do leaders really grab hold of some of the positives out of that and make sure they're not lost in what was just a thing that happened?
I think the thing that I've noticed across our organization is that we've got much more explicit in what we've been doing, and that's led to some, I think, quite remarkable results. We've been a lot more explicit in kind of giving people permission to work in whatever way they need to work, much more outcomes focused. And we'd always, I think, been trying to do that, but circumstances have dictated that we've had to be explicit in giving people that permission. I think we've also been a lot more explicit in our expectations of people. I think that's because the stakes are higher. You know, there's a stronger commonality of purpose. And so being explicit about some things which are often quite challenging to talk to people about, you know, like the hard commercials and productivity performance numbers, which some people shy away from, there's been a reason and a kind of an explicit permission to talk more directly about that. And I think I've seen in some patches of the organization where that wasn't done quite so well previously, a real improvement and an improvement in the kind of results as a consequence.
I want to share just some thoughts on that kind of spectrum of the way to think about this through just some ends of that spectrum. You know, as we've grown up through the constructs and those matrix organizations that I talked about, the tensions that you need to hold, the tight ropes that leaders need to play with really are around how can we let go of, how can we loosen our grip? How can we really think about the use of power? And I'm not saying power is always a bad thing, but when we use it in the wrong way, we know it is. The level of control, and again, there are absolutely organizations, yours included, that need to put tight control around certain things in their organizations, but not everything. So what is the tight and loose version of the level of the control that you need to have? And we've just heard some great examples of that in our group around wanting to control meetings and wanting to control the way people are interacting and the amount of time people have to spend on things. That scarcity versus abundance mindset. Certainly in the commentary, we heard a lot about the fact that it starts with mindset and that ability to see what is abundant about and what's possible. The boundaries that we put up, a lot of people talked about the shift in the paradigm, the belief systems that we've shattered over the last 4 to 6 weeks that create a whole new level of boundaries that we didn't think we had in the way that we can work together, the way we can collaborate, the speed in which we can get things done. So really what I want you to leave you with this thinking is, like I said, it's not binary. It's not a dichotomous approach to power and control. But how do we really unlock that activism? How do we think about loosening and tightening the right things in our organizations now and in the future? Because the time is right now to shift some of these things, to really capitalize on the things that we've started over the last 6 weeks in the shifts in the organizations. And the question that I want you to think about is, if we get this right, if we get this balance right, if we democratize leadership and activate the core of our businesses, really build on that collaboration and that innovation that we've started, what's possible? What's possible for you and your organizations if we get that right?
A few of the ideas that came out of our great discussion was really this ability that if we can democratize leadership and think about accountability and some of these tight, loose concepts, the four areas actually that we thought would be hugely unlocked inside an organization was agility, velocity, creativity, and then ultimately energy was the conversation around that. If we can get this concept of tight, loose, right, and democratize accountability and democratize power, they're the four things. Tonight has been the first part of a two-part series. So really tonight, what we were hoping to do was to introduce this concept of democratizing leadership and this piece of thought leadership that we've been producing over the last couple of months. And there is a white paper that we will distribute further. Next week, we really want to talk about the how. So tonight, really what we focused on is this concept of the time is now. That really this moment in time that COVID's provided us is an opportunity for us to really sit back and assess how leadership is lived and defined in our organizations. Is it lived and defined by hierarchy, matrix, power structures? And really think, is that the definition and living of leadership that we want moving forward? Mark introduced the concept of tight loose and briefly mentioned this idea of almost like tight ropes. Which tight rope do you pull tighter? Which tight rope do you loosen up in order to unlock some of these things like creativity, agility, velocity, and energy? And ultimately, we're looking for, as leaders, how do we all, after today, look for opportunities to create the activism that's required in the 80% of our organizations that don't have management in their title? And how do we actually distribute that across the leadership process, the accountability and the responsibilities and the energy across a broader set within our organization? So next week, we'll be joined by Catherine, who's just going to join us now. Next week, we'll get a bit more stuck into the how we go about this.
One thing that I don't know about you all, but I found myself doing, is that when you lead through disruption, there are two things that you can do. You can either look back at history and have a look at what people have done and decisions that have been made and look for the lessons that you can learn to take forward through this crisis, or you can look forward to the future and you can make a decision on, based on what you know right now, what is it that you want to be in 1 year time, in 5 years time, in 7 years time. And as I was reading on the weekend, I came across some words by Bob Johansson, who is a fellow at the Institute of the Future based in Silicon Valley at Stanford. And 3 years ago in his book, The New Leadership Literacies, he spoke about the next decade. And he said, the next decade will be twisted and splintered, the most turbulent years of our lifetime. And you will be leading from the edge of your competence. And so it's with that concept that we are now all being pushed to the very edge of our competence that we invite you to come back for part two next week. And we're really going to explore, how will you unleash the potential that democratizing leadership can give your organization?